Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast is how Spencer Hall normally introduces this program, but he's not here today. Why? Because he doesn't care about us or you.
Specifically you.
Do you mean, because it's unclear, do you mean me, Ryan Nanny, or do you mean you, the listening audience?
Wouldn't everyone on Earth except me like to know?
Wow. Tasty. That's Jason Kirk, surrounded by several insects that he has enraged by talking trash about George Bulldogs.
Nick Chubb's going to transfer to Auburn.
Oh my God. They're just so riled. Is that really going to happen?
Wouldn't these bugs like to know?
So much mystery. Appropriate because this is the mystery guest episode. Let's peel back the curtain here for a second. Mystery guest was a term we used today soliciting your questions on Twitter for this episode. Not because we have an exciting, you know, really out there surprising guest, but because we just didn't know if our guest was going to be able to make it or not. And based on his internet connection so far before this show,
we're still unsure.
He may not even respond. Mystery guest is SB Nation's own Brian Floyd. Brian, how are you this Tuesday evening?
I'm hoping my internet stays alive for a little bit longer. We'll see.
That's fine. We'll take it. If nothing else, we got you there, and we can prove that you were on the podcast. So for alibi purposes, if you're implicated in a crime that occurs between...
All right, we're done.
So, well, just don't even say when it is. Just say, we recorded this, you know, during the crime.
We recorded this during the time in which Brian is accused of committing whatever crime he's being accused of.
All crimes near Brian. This is that Key and Peele sketch, basically.
Mm-hmm. Some good lawyer in there, though.
Well, you know, I didn't become a college football writer because I was a bad lawyer, of course.
Welcome to the big leagues.
this is where the top notch lawyering is done. It's me, Fooch, and Clay Travis just putting our brains together.
Great company.
Jesus. Brian, we're going to talk about your conference, the conference of champion appearances, the Pac-12.
The conference of Stanford winning all those little sports trophies championships.
not quite champions. UCLA's got a couple in there.
Oh man.
The conference of 1970s basketball championships.
Yeah, we're really oof. Oof, we're digging deep now. What does Arizona State contribute to this?
People usually put them in the like top five hot babes things.
Oh, okay, you know?
Like,
all right.
Like the stuff you see at the bottom of websites and don't click on.
Slideshow champion.
It's always an Arizona State person.
Slideshow championship. That's pretty special. In some ways, that's more legitimate than most college football championships. Talking about you, Auburn.
Oh.
Burned him so bad. Brian is, of course, a fan of...
Oh.
Washington State Cougars. Brian,
you had to go there.
I'm going to do my very best.
Hitting him with the dirtiest dirt right off the bat.
It's just a fact. Brian, is that or is that not true?
Oh. It's true. It hurts. It's true.
Okay, so for people who don't understand the essence of what it means to be a Wazoo fan, give it to us in distilled, and yeah, that is a double entendre.
Booze.
It is staying up after dark, getting real drunk, and watching your football team do terrible, terrible things.
We should be clear. Some of those terrible things they do to other teams, though, as well.
Once in a while, but it's usually more self-inflicted than otherwise.
Okay. And what is the peak, what is the highest peak that you've experienced as a Washington State football fan?
Are we talking like good things here?
Yeah,
let's
be positive just for once. I know I'm not good at it, and Jason just thinks everything is fine.
Everything's fine.
I started school the year after that 3-year win streak or 3-year 10 win streak. So I haven't seen any good football in person. I was a fan and saw the Rose Bowls, but I started school right towards the end of Gildolo when they went 6-6 and were eligible for a bowl and didn't get into a bowl. into the like 9-40 Paul Wolf era. So probably the high point as like a actual Bennett Washington State and otherwise is going to that damn bowl game in New Mexico.
Wow. I so thought for sure you were going to say that ugly win over USC.
Yeah, when you beat Lane Kiffin like 11-8
at 2:30 in the morning.
See, that wasn't even fun because like the Cal game was at least fun, even though they lost it. That game was just a slog.
We're losing Floyd pretty bad.
I know. Floyd, you still there?
It's fine.
No, I think we lost them all together now.
So, let's talk Pac-12 football, Ryan.
Okay.
And if Floyd jumps back in, that's cool, man.
Yeah, Floyd, whenever you have something to say, just jump in. If it works, it works.
Just start talking, and if people respond, you'll know that people heard you.
Okay. Because right now, there's like a 90-second portion where it just sounds like Floyd is chopped and screwed. And I'm fine with that.
And well, what happened in the pre-call was, and when we say pre-call on these things, we somehow say that every week.
We're literally talking about before we press record.
Yeah, we don't sit for 30 minutes and map out this thing. It's just like, hey, are you on? No, are you on? Yeah, no. Okay, go.
Hold on, I have to put my children to bed, which is weird for me to say because I don't have kids. But
it's a valid excuse. But in that, there was a point where Floyd answered a question, started talking, and we heard silence. And then a minute later, his answer started going. So if that happens, that'll be a pretty cool effect.
Through the ether. Floyd, before we get to reader questions, the lowest point that you've experienced as a Wazoo fan? He's just gone. He let me know he could still hear me, but that was it. Jesus.
The lowest point, man. So, man.
I mean, the ending to that Gildan New Mexico Bowl that he
referenced. The one that also had to function as the high point.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just leave it as that. The high point and the low point are the same for Wazoo fans over the past like 10 years. Is that right?
The high point was getting to go to a bowl game that has like a pretty cool piece of pottery with like an AutoZone logo
and
as its trophy, and the low point is not getting it after coming so close.
Well, Floyd, if you're still out there, we love you, buddy. Jason, let's do a question, because this is going off the rails so quick.
It's slightly quicker than usual, through no fault of anyone's.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one I have at hand. From Go Hutch, Hutch and Go on Twitter. If you could relegate one team from each conference, who'd it be and who'd take their place? Well, let's see. So since this is the Pac-12 preview...
Mm-hmm.
Obviously,
right?
We have nothing but Pac-12 experts on the call at the moment.
Yep,
and another one sort of floating nearby. Let's just do the Pac-12. Who would we kick out of the Pac-12?
Oof. You know what? This is going to be a little controversial. I'm kind of over having two schools in LA that play each other.
Yeah, they're really close,
and they're in the same conference. Like, I don't need that. I don't mind if schools are close, like Clemson and South Carolina are rivals and they're close, but they're not in the same conference. Florida State and Florida, they're not super far away from each other. Georgia, Georgia Tech, it just feels weird to have two teams that are rivals and have a sort of crosstown, you know, regional thing going on, but they're in the same conference. So I say let's kick out USC.
Yeah.
Let's boot them to independent status.
Yeah, they'd probably like that.
Not like relegate them down to Sunbelt or whatever. But give them independent status and then they can play whoever they want whenever. I mean, they kind of already look. They last year they played what? Notre Dame and Boston College. That's basically independent status.
When you say, like, 1980s independent schedule, like, I'm pretty sure you're playing Boston College and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how Boston College managed to appear on every independent schedule ever, but yeah, you're basically already independent, so no hard feelings. It's like, you know, the old saying when someone has to leave a bar, you ain't got to go to the Mountain West, but you can't stay here.
Well, the reason for Boston College is like the vegetable platter of college football, where you're like, well, we have to get one of these. And it doesn't matter if it's not very good and people don't eat it. Sometimes it's fine. Most of the time people are just eating cheese and meat. But at least for appearances, it would look weird if you went to an office party and there wasn't celery and carrots and ranch dressing. And that's Boston College.
A Spaziani arrangement can brighten up any table.
That's right. And Matt Ryan was the shiniest cherry tomato of them all.
He kind of does look like one.
Who are we putting in their place if we're dumping USC?
Well, I have one other thing to ponder here, because Oregon and Oregon State are also very close, and considering LA traffic, it might be easier to get between those two in a lesser amount of time than USC and UCLA.
Okay.
So, what if we did something like merge those two pairs?
Okay, who is the not to get all legal on you here, Jason, but who is the surviving corporation in this merger?
Hey buddy, that's your problem here.
Okay.
Hey, this is why I pay you to be my lawyer. I do pay you to do that, right?
You don't actually, and you shouldn't.
Yeah, well, you are now.
You shouldn't do that. You can do better by definition.
So surviving, that would mean like who gets.
Who are we naming this merger after? What's the name of the final entity that emerges from this?
We call it like the Raiders.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
And then the Oregon one, you call it something that like SEC fans would call it something if we called it like no championships.
Right. Uh-huh.
So it would sort of broaden the appeal nationally.
You think calling them the Oregon No Championships would broaden the national appeal of this team?
It would really tap into the sentiment that people around the country, grasp for Oregon gets attention.
I see. Okay, great. Let's check in with Brian Floyd. Brian, can you hear us yet? All right, let's count to three. One, two, three.
Hello?
What the hell?
Brian, can you hear us from whatever?
It's like, it's 6 seconds late.
Are you locked in a police locker?
I like that Floyd is so listening.
Well, this is, people have asked before if we live stream Shut Down Fullcast.
As you can hear.
Brian Floyd is enjoying the first live stream. Nope, he's gone.
Just hanging out.
Okay, Brian, do you have a thought on which Pac-12 team we should get rid of and who we should replace them with? Through the airwaves. Brian's in Russia. Takes time to hit the satellite. Bounce yeah. him. His answer bounces back.
Edward Snowden says, get Arizona app out of here.
Snowden again! Sorry, Brian.
Snowden hates the Wildcats, man.
Let me tell you this. I'm not dropping Brian from this call. I don't care I don't care that it's failing miserably.
Now, what I really hope is that Floyd starts live blogging this on his permission.
Yeah, Floyd, if you can, just live tweet this. That's fine. That's totally fine. All right, next.
It's like he won a contest, a really terrible contest, like
to sit in the pre-pro.
It's like he lost a contest.
Nope, you didn't sell enough chocolate bars for the wrestling team, so you got to listen to Shut Down Fullcast live and how shitty it is. Oh my god.
You can't fast forward or anything.
Again, all complaints should go to Spencer Hall at SB Nation.
Yep, because he's the one who knows how to work the Skype.
He's the worst. All right, next question. Whew, let's just dive right into this one. This is from Chris Turner at Chris L. Turner. He wants to know what pizza topping accurately represents each FBS conference. We're going to change that, obviously, to Pac-12 team.
Yeah.
I don't know why people don't get
the memo in these questions when we don't announce which conference we're previewing. You'd think they'd just be able to guess. I mean, we've only done one, so it's only four left.
That's true. Do the math, people. Let's start in the north. All right, if we're going Cal, I guess the stereotype requires us to go probably with some sort of vegetable option. this should probably be something that was more interesting a few years ago and now just feels sort of like, oh yeah, that's a thing. It shouldn't be terrible, but it also shouldn't be one of your top pizza toppings. I'm going to say the Cal Golden Bears are spinach.
I'm going to go with mushrooms.
Okay.
Because those are very popular in Berkeley.
That's fair. Next, Oregon. Oregon.
Yeah. Something really loud. When you bite into it, it's like, is there even pizza under this? All right,
then the answer is pineapple. Because some people will swear up and down that pineapple on pizza is one of the best things ever. I'm great with pineapple on pizza.
I'm fine with it.
Others will tell you it's trash. And people say the same thing about Oregon.
It's got the color scheme and everything.
It does.
And from the same area as Marcus Mariota.
Perfect. This is seamless. Oregon State? I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. Broccoli?
Pepperoni? I don't know, man. No, cheese. Oregon State is cheese.
Oregon State is cheese, and that technically, because, if it's a pizza topping.
Yeah, but it's like the last one you'd ever think because it's right there.
Stanford. Ooh, something. Got to be fibrous. Got to be.
I think Stanford's like steak.
Okay.
Like an entire steak on top of your pizza.
Right. This is when you go to the pizza parlor.
Football program, not like the school, I guess.
This is when you get the pizza where they're like, yeah, we do meatballs. And then you're like, holy shit, they actually put meatballs on the pizza. That's Stanford.
You're like straining to get your jaws open enough to bite.
Like, is the pizza plate upon which I'm supposed to eat the meatballs from?
Do I eat the pizza or not?
Is the pizza decorative? Is it just garnish? This hurts.
Can I roll it up like a cigar?
This hurts so bad, but no, that's what it's like to have five tight ends on the field at once.
That's what it's like to bite into Stanford football. Your jaw is going to hurt.
Washington. Whew. Washington, you know what? Washington is probably like...
What was really great in 1990 and never heard from again?
Duck Hunt.
Whatever it is, it's like Little Caesars.
Wow. Okay, so square pizza. Washington is square pizza.
Square pizza.
Where it's not a topping, but it's like it had that moment where it was like, hey, this square pizza, that's pretty different, right?
And then it's eating pizza in a toga.
Okay. Washington State. Washington State is alcohol.
Yeah, it's
not be. I'm sorry.
What is pizza flavored?
I guarantee you somebody has made pizza flavored vodka. And probably they've done it at Wazoo. you just put a whole pizza in the bottle of Stoli, let it sit for a couple days, take the pizza out, boom, pizza vodka.
Pizza vodka is so
good. It just tastes like bagel bites, so you get fucking trashed. Arizona, we're moving to the south now. Arizona needs to be something that is fine, that offers some potential value, but is also not for everyone. I'll maybe say like roasted garlic.
Yeah. I wonder who gets like pepperoni. Like, who's just like, you're a football team.
That's USC. I'll skip to that because pepperoni has somehow become like one of the default pizza toppings. Like, there's no good reason why pepperoni should have earned meat supremacy on the pizza list, except that somebody decided long ago that that was the case. Hasn't really earned that spot. And that's kind of where USC is at this point, I think.
Yeah, it's almost like there was some government order or some crooked bureaucrat rigged the system and decided that thin slices of whatever part of a pig this is.
Right.
And go great on pizza.
What about salami? That would be
The
pepperoni lobby has made some very interesting points. I think we'll be going with pepperoni after all. Also, this is a private institution. You may not FOIA our records.
Am I being detained?
No pepperoni. You are not.
Thin portions of pig tube are perfect on pizza.
Yep.
And that is just like USC.
Arizona.
So UCLA, would that be Canadian bacon then? Because it's like knockoff pepper.
Wow. Okay, let's give them. Let's not make it quite that harsh. Let's make them sausage.
Because in theory,
should be fine. Like, has all the elements of an excellent pizza topping. Sounds delicious. Looks great on paper. In practice, that falls apart. Like piece. I don't know.
Just
by
a
piece
lumpy
five.
Mess.
Yeah. end up with a lot
maybe
of
not even sausage, maybe just like the hamburger wad.
Oh no, hamburger is a pizza topping in some places.
People have done this.
Freedom is a terrible thing. Arizona State, I'm gonna give them like bell pepper.
I'm gonna say like a knife.
Okay, you know how you have knife on your pizza,
or just like if you're cutting the pizza up and you just like leave the knife on it, and then someone bites into it, right. And they're like, "Oh God damn it, I'm bleeding from the throat."
Right. Okay.
Like, you know, if you look at them, you're going to be like, "Wow, that's scary," you know. And if they're not already dead, you're going to be like, "Wow, you're tough."
Right. Colorado. I'm going to make Colorado pizza on a bagel.
you can eat Colorado anytime.
You can eat it anytime, and it's not really pizza. Like, I get it, but it's not really. You can't just throw like
I get what you're going for.
You can't just throw some ragu and shredded Kraft on a pita bread and be like, "Hey, Dad made pizza, everybody." No, that shit don't work.
And also, based on what we all heard about Colorado's finances before they were joining the Pac-12. Yeah. I don't know if they can afford, yeast.
Yeah. Dad didn't realize that they were going to need first, last, and security deposit on this house after mom kicked him out. So
Colorado is that Totino's bullshit.
It's not great. That leaves Utah.
Ooh. Let's see.
Let's check with Brian. Brian, do you have opinions on what pizza topping Utah should be? Brian, are you there? Nope. Not a word. Not a guy. Man, he's like a sphinx. He's uncrackable.
So Utah is probably something that was like suddenly popular within like the last 5 years. Like, what's the trendiest pizza topping?
Ooh.
Or actually even better, something that was a sudden trend and then like, like I don't really, to be quite honest, I don't really know what a cronut is. I just know people in your part of the world use that word a lot.
I would say any
so
kind
I'm just going to say that.
I would say any kind of flavored oil, maybe like a truffle oil. Be like, "Oh, this pizza has truffle oil." Be like, "Well, I don't know what that is."
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
I don't know what that is. Great. So that's it. We made the worst pizza in the world.
Is that it?
That we hit every Pac-12 team.
That was quick.
Yeah. You got another question?
No.
You only had one question?
Well, I only grabbed one. But okay. I will say because our listeners like to play on topical subjects.
Yeah.
That a popular question theme this week involved punching your quarterback.
Wow.
Because what happened to former West Virginia quarterback Geno Smith, I'm not sure where he is now. I don't think he still plays for a football team. He was punched by a teammate. So there were many questions about, you know, which quarterback should get punched, which coach should get punched, what if this happened in college football? But of course, the obvious, you know, takeaway there is that not only did this happen in college football did it first, and it happened at Brian. Are you there with us,
Brian? Please,
Washington State.
Yes. Oh my God.
We're back.
All right, Brian.
Hey,
give us the background on how Washington State did this first and better.
Freshman redshirting defensive lineman punched walk-on quarterback, broke walk-on quarterback's jaw, got arrested, pled down. Walk-on quarterback is not on the team and is suing the school now.
Suing the school!
Not only did college do it first, they did it better.
Man. Yeah, let's see the New York Jets get sued.
I think it should be a rule that you can't punch walk-ons. Not in the face, at least. Like, torso, legs, maybe that's fine. But, like, the walk-on, he's already sacrificing punishment for no good reason. Let's not make it worse with punches.
Or maybe you could count that as, like, course credit?
Or only punch walk-ons? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if I'm the coach, if you punch a walk-on, I'm a little bit less upset than I am if you punch a scholarship player.
Yeah.
Hey, the guy that punched him is still there, I think he's contending for a starting job.
All right, I think Brian was saying that the guy is still there and he's going to be competing for a starting job.
That was what I inferred as well.
Which is not what the NFL is doing with the gentleman who punched Geno Smith. He's off the team.
And headed to Washington State, where a kid can be a kid.
I don't think that's the
where
the
dreams
motto.
Are reborn.
but let's go with it.
Where everyone gets a third chance.
All right, let's go to our next question. This is from Chris Sweat.
We have one.
Yeah, I pulled several. Don't worry. This is not a total disaster. I mean, it is, but let's pretend otherwise. Chris Sweat at ChiefDog10 asks, what team is most likely to reverse Clemson, a.k.a. they let you down so much consistently and then they pull a huge upset?
Brian, are you with us?
Oh.
Because we know the answer.
We went back to the well too much.
The answer here as well.
Yeah. There are actually, I think there are, doing the math here. There are two answers I really like for this, and maybe a third, but I think just two right now in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. You're going with Washington State for obvious reasons.
That would be the first name that would come to mind. There are several.
I think Cal might be in this territory now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, well, first of all, let's talk about how Cal has personally affected your life for the negative.
Myself?
Yeah.
Well, they play bullshit football that I have to watch because it's on until 1:30 in the morning when I'm trying to get work done.
But Cal has also caused you a personal financial loss.
Right. Stephen Gottfried and I had a bet last year on whether Cal would win. I think it was like 3 games or not. And they surpassed that and reached 5. And we've since doubled it down in part because I forgot to pay up.
What do they have to reach this year for Godfrey to win?
You know, you're my lawyer, so I'm glad you're asking this because I don't remember if we actually set that in stone
or not.
Well,
here's the thing. Godfrey's not on this podcast. We can say what it is, and it's binding.
Man, you're really good at this.
You're welcome.
I'm going to say Cal has to... I'll say 6 games.
6?
I'm going to say on here that I don't think Cal will make a bowl, and then I'll go and look at the schedule and be like, oh, shit.
All right, well, we have literally nothing to do because our guest is still unstuck from time and the Earth itself. I'm going to go through the schedule with the Cal schedule with you, and I want you to just tell me knee-jerk reaction, win or loss. You ready?
Okay, and who's going to tally?
I think I can handle it in my head.
Okay.
You ready?
All right.
All right. Week 1, Grand.
Well, let's see. Grambling suspended its program only 2 or 3 years ago for a bit, so I'm going to go with Cal.
Okay. Week 2, San Diego State.
Now, I think the Aztecs are going to be pretty tough, and they have the country's best uniforms now, but I'll take Cal.
Okay. Cal, 2-0, hot start to the season. Ooh. Changes maybe here. Week 3, on the road at Texas.
Ugh. Can you imagine what this is going to look like when Texas has the ball?
Yeah, it's going to be something.
Like Cal's offense, Texas defense, that's watchable.
Yeah.
I'll take Texas, I guess, even though they just lost 2 more players today so far that I know of.
Cal drops a 2-1. Week after that, Cal goes to Washington. Washington lost a bunch of defensive talent.
Ugh. I'll take Cal.
Wow. Okay. Brian, if you want to step in here. Next up, Cal hosts Washington State.
Revenge game.
Brian, prediction. Everybody count to 3. Nope, not here. Jason, is Cal Wazoo? Who wins that one?
Well, Cal's at home, and they won that one last year, and they're probably improved more, so Bears.
Okay, they're 4-1 right now. We're barely into the middle of October.
I'm banking a lot of L's.
All right, here we go. Next, they go to Utah, October 10th.
Oh, Utes.
Then to UCLA. They get a bye week, and then it's a Thursday game.
Woo! Man, betting on the Bruins is never... That fills me with great disquiet, but I'll take UCLA.
Okay, they've dropped to 4-3 now. Saturday, Halloween. Hosting USC.
Yeah, probably got it. Yeah, you got to go USC.
All right. Then they go to Oregon.
I think I'll take the Ducks.
Okay. Cal's now dropped to 4-5, below 500 for the first time in the season.
And I've been fair, right? This is a fair 4-5.
That's for the angry listeners to determine.
Okay. Cal gang.
Now hosting Oregon State on November 14th.
Ugh, Cal.
Okay, 5-5. So they need to win one of their next two games for that to happen. They are at Stanford and
loss.
Home hosting Arizona State.
Ooh, I don't like either of those. To be honest, I'm going to go 2 L's.
Ooh, so they limp to 5-7, and you can bet.
That's basically the same season as last year.
Yeah, it would be. Wow.
And, I mean, the coin flips probably be, what, Utah, you know, maybe another one or two, but yeesh. Be somewhere around there. Unless we're all totally wrong.
It's not the craziest thing we've ever said on this podcast.
Well, since we're talking Pac-12, mm-hmm. what if we go ahead and hit some of the bigger things for the season for the Pac-12?
Oh, my God. Let me start with what I think is the...
Well, I mean, granted, we've broken down Cal's schedule.
Yeah, we've nailed down the number one story of the Pac-12 season.
We've talked about which booze Washington State is, but, you know, maybe let's say we try and figure out, let's try and rank that Pac-12 South. How about that?
Oh, my God. Can we do one thing before that? There is a news thing I want to talk about.
Absolutely. We have so much time to use.
So we're recording this on Tuesday. 2 days from now, Vernon Adams has to take an exam, and that exam determines basically, I don't want to jump to too many conclusions here, but whether or not he passes this exam basically determines who will be Oregon's starting quarterback. Fair?
Something like that.
But we don't know what the exam is.
Let's see. So it's a class at Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
Right. That school, I'm going to guess it's forestry, something like that, a forestry class.
Okay.
Just based on their part of the world, maybe logging.
What is a logging final? You get like a set amount of time to chop down a tree?
You have to make a cabin.
You have to make a cabin?
You have to make a canoe. He's got to make a canoe.
I don't think that's forestry. I think that's carpentry, but I don't want to quibble because
it's a tree school.
So you think this is like
tree stuff. His major is tree stuff, Ryan. And all that transfers to Oregon because they got trees too.
That's true. That's why he's going to beat Stanford.
Oregon's season hinges on him being able to make a really good canoe.
How many people do you think, how many Oregon boosters have tried to bribe or at least find out who the professor is for this exam so that they can offer him a bribe, him or her?
Well, Oregon only has one booster, according to the internet.
Correct.
So, one.
All right. Phil Knight, I hope you sent every Eastern... That's all Phil Knight needs to do. Send every Eastern Washington prof, like, a nice crate of brand new Nike apparel.
Yeah, just send that canoe professor the latest J's, and you got your QB.
Yeah, Air Forestry. Okay, we can do what you wanted to talk about now. We're going to rank the Pac-12 South. This is literally the most thankless thing we could do. You know that, right?
Well, here's why it's intriguing. Because the North, you've got Oregon.
Yeah.
They're going to be the same Oregon they've been. Even if Vernon Adams fails to make an excellent canoe, they'll plug in the Mario's backup, and they'll be fine.
Right.
And Stanford's going to do what Stanford's going to do, and the rest of the division will be garbage. Garbage. The South, however...
Man, I can't wait for Cal to go jump out to 6-0, and then lose every other game.
That would hurt. I'm not rooting for that. That would hurt even me. I don't have anything against Cal. But the South, we're talking about, you know... like three somewhat legit national title contenders.
Okay.
Maybe four.
I was going to say.
Depending on what you think about Arizona State.
Four is not unreasonable.
Four reasonable national title contenders, plus the team that won the division last year, plus when your worst team is Utah.
Yeah.
That's a deep division.
Is Utah worse than Colorado?
Those words don't even register as a sentence in my brain.
All right, let me back up. Do you agree that Colorado is in the Pac-12 South?
I see my oversight now.
Oh, I should have just let it lie. Just so Utah fans could have been fucking furious and Colorado fans could have been like, all right, SB Nation, thanks for the respect. Thank you. Buffs, you know, Buffs getting up off the mat.
Listen, times are tough. So anyway, you have five good to great teams.
Right.
And, here, I'll spin this, and they all get to boost their schedules with a win against Colorado.
Hey, you say that as if UCLA didn't need three overtimes to beat Colorado last year.
That did happen. Preseason top 10-ish UCLA basically got gifted a triple overtime win against Colorado.
Yeah. So,
as I was saying, Colorado is a title contender.
Is a title contender. Absolutely. All right. So, look, you brought this up. I leave it to you to rank them in any order that you see fit.
Well, USC seems to be the popular choice. Okay. They were picked to win the conference by the media, I believe. They're the gambling favorite, based pretty much on they've got a good quarterback.
Right.
And, like, obviously talent everywhere because they're USC, but still pretty thin. The main selling point is just they have a quarterback who had really good stats. Whereas UCLA, we're looking at pretty proven depth just about everywhere, except quarterback.
Except at quarterback, yeah.
Where you're trying out either Jerry Neuheisel or a freshman.
A very highly touted freshman.
Extremely highly touted freshman.
But he's not a Neuheisel, let's be clear.
I have never heard him play a single funny parody on guitar.
Wow. That hurts. Arizona, maybe the comparative dark horse, then? I mean, they return a new Solomon, which I know everybody's talked this point to death, but this is the first time Rich Rodriguez has had the same starting quarterback coming back since he's been at Arizona. Is that right?
Right. He had Matt Scott and then a new Solomon, and that was that.
Right. So there is something to like about that, and I think merely by anecdotal evidence, there were times last year where you saw a new Solomon and said, for somebody who doesn't have that much experience and hasn't, you know, gotten a lot of reps in the system, he looks pretty good. There were other times where a new Solomon was basically throwing them out of games or not doing anything to keep them in it.
Yeah, roughly. I mean, for me, like, Arizona's offense, never really anything I'm going to worry about. Like, Even if the quarterback is a freshman and he's goofing up, like, it'll be fine. Like, the worst Rich Rod offense is still going to be pretty good. And, like, the defense can't really fall far, anchored by Scooby Wright. Bill Connolly said even if he was the only linebacker they returned, they'd still have an elite linebacking core, and they returned other guys, too. So, like, Arizona really is, like, it's weird to be the division champion. And, hey, they're the Mizzou. That's what's happening here.
Yeah, they are the Mizzou. But the curse of being the Mizzou is that you can't have your stupid Mizzou game. Like, last year for Mizzou, that was, at least within conference, getting shut out by Georgia. And that's the kind of game that Arizona is prone to sometimes. I guess last year that would have been, I think, the UCLA game, when the offense was a problem. I know they had a wide receiver who got hurt during that game, but they only scored 7 points.
Well, Arizona's got the double problem of not only are they Mizzou, they're Mizzou in the SEC West.
Right.
Like, Mizzou's a great story and impressive, and they beat expectations 2 years in a row, but they've done it in the SEC East.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, what Arizona did last year was amazing and impressive, and, you know, they probably should have lost to UTSA and all, but to do that in this year's Pac-12 South sounds like a bit much. So, pretty fair reason for slotting in at third, fourth, fifth, rather than expecting a repeat.
Okay.
I mean, to me, UCLA feels like the safer choice at number one.
Okay, then USC. Is that because you are not enamored with Cody Kessler, or because you think the comparative depth that UCLA has at every other position makes them more reliable?
Well, Kessler's good. I mean, I don't think there's any really question about that.
Dan Rubenstein would argue that point.
Dan Rubenstein would argue that vigorously.
Yeah.
Listen, Dan, if you're listening, I did not say anything at all good about USC. I think I think they should just drop football. They'll probably go 5-5 mm-hmm. and cancel two games.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone should ever even rank USC. Basically,
I think Sark should quit.
I think Sark should. Sark should go just work in TV.
He should just demote himself to like wide receivers coach.
And there should just be no head coach.
No head coach, because you know they're if they're not Pete Carroll and cheating to win, it just don't matter at USC.
But the thing about UCLA is, you know, their big loss was Brett Hundley at quarterback, right. And he was very talented, very effective. But I don't really feel like there were all that many games where it was like, wow, Brett Hundley's really out here doing it. Like, you know, tore apart Virginia Tech in a bowl a couple years ago. But, right. You know, otherwise it was just motoring along, racking up stats. You know, yeah. their biggest wins, it was stuff like, hey, there goes 8 punt returns for touchdowns. Like, I don't feel like he's irreplaceable, not by any means, okay. Especially not with everything else they're bringing back.
Fair. So you're going UCLA, USC, Arizona? Is that right? Is that your medal stand?
I'd probably put Arizona State ahead of Arizona.
Okay.
Myself.
Okay.
You have any opinions here?
I mean, the one thing we haven't really talked about here is that the Pac-12 as a whole gets a lot of credit for having all these good coaches. And to some extent, that is really true. And that's true in the South Division, especially, you know, Rich Rod has turned this Arizona team around really impressively. Todd Graham stayed at Arizona State despite all of our internet jokes and has had them one game away from playing for the conference title. Colorado at least looks on the rebound. Jim Mora, I mean, as much shit as we give Jim Mora, that was a hire that when it was made and everybody put out their coaching grades, that was like the C-D+. And that seems clearly wrong.
Yeah, that was the hire that everyone on the surface level, and I did this too, you just make the immediate, you know, that's a reach. They're just trying to do Pete Carroll, NFL retread.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't good. But when you really stop to think about it, and this isn't just hindsight,
right.
When you really stop to think about it, like, he's perfect for the college game. Like, right. Young, fired up, kind of arrogant. Like, kids are going to love it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we've seen the effects of that.
Right. Sark is, I think, an improvement over Lane Kiffin at this point and deserves more credit for what he did at Washington than most people give him. And Kyle Whittingham at Utah, you know, has managed to stick around at a Power 5 program for a long time, so he must be doing something right. That said, all of these coaches have, like, something about them that you're like, I just don't know if they are the kind of coach that leads you to a national title season.
That's very true. That is very true. Like, they're all good hires.
Right.
And now that they've all been here for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, it's like,
Right. And they've all improved their program since they've been there in some way, shape, or form, but that doesn't necessarily mean that this is a collection of coaches that you're like, oh, this is gonna they're gonna play for a national title.
Yeah, that is true. The whole, like, it's sort of the go-to thing about the Pac-12. Man, every team's got a good coach. You know, the worst coach is still whatever proven guy with a resume who did this good thing before he got there and
right,
all that.
Right.
And really, you can say just about every program that's had a coach for more than 1 or 2 years really has gotten better. But we're probably getting to the point where that whole thing needs to be put to the test.
Right. It's unclear if anybody has a great coach in the Pac-12 at this point.
Exactly.
There are a lot of good coaches, not a lot of great coaches. Go SEC. You know, I'm sorry. I couldn't let it go that long without being that way.
Man, if you put Mark Stoops in the Pac-12, talking about rings,
oh
son.
Oh, my God. Rings on rings on rings. It's going to look like
Derek Mason back in the Pac-12. Shit.
It's going to look like that child stacking game, so many rings. It's going to look like somebody rigged a carnival game.
Shit's going to look like Jenga.
Let's go to a new question. This question comes from Jackson OG Martin at Jog Martin on Twitter. He says, Vanderbilt fan here, in order to win an SEC championship, I would accept violations resulting in a death penalty for the program. Is this reasonable? Now, of course, this is the Pac-12 preview. Again, we appreciate that we have such passionate SEC fans. This is not your day.
They do love this Pac-12 program.
So let's throw this to a variety of downtrodden Pac-12 teams. Brian Floyd, again, if you're there, we would love to hear your thoughts on this from a Wazoo fan's point of view.
One, two. I think I heard the Skype noise, so yeah, I think he's
okay,
gone.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, you know, if I'm a fan of Wazoo, Oregon State, I would dare to even say Utah. They've had, you know, they've had some good teams, but nothing anywhere approaching national title level in a power conference.
Right.
You know, win 11, 12 games in non-power, that's good, but they're never going to let you play for the real thing. I think if you're a team that's never really come that close to a national title in any recent year, I say yes, do it. Okay, like, so, go out guns blazing.
So let's agree to a dividing line here. There are many ways you could, in theory, accrue so many NCAA violations as to get programmatic death penalty. There is the SMU way, where it's just sort of recruiting violations and cash being exchanged and sort of the shit we all kind of love.
Right.
As college football fans. There are also the less savory ways to do it. Perhaps what almost happened to Penn State, for instance, or other things of that ilk that are not about breaking the NCAA's sort of self-imposed, boring, stodgy rules, and are more about, like, serious shit.
Yeah, we say this applies exclusively to the former.
Okay, all right. So yeah, I agree, because, look, you know that if you do this, the national title or conference title that you win is going to be technically removed from the books, and nobody's going to count it.
They can't take away your tattoos, though.
Can't take away your tattoos. The lasers can't reach that far.
The NCAA ain't got no lasers.
Get some
NCAA laser research is woefully behind Russia.
Yeah. Why do you think Donald Trump's doing so well in the polls? Because he wants our lasers to be better at the collegiate level.
He's a good man. He's what's best for college sports. He really should take over the NCAA. He's got the same hair as Mark Emmert. He's the same man as Mark Emmert. He's just a little bit meaner. He's a little bit better quote.
He's a lot meaner. And he will – I'll tell you this. Donald Trump, for all of his other whatever, he will have no problem just letting money flow into college sports. You think Donald Trump gives a shit about amateurism and the principles thereof? Fuck and no. Donald Trump will pay a player as the NCAA president.
Can you imagine going up to Donald Trump at the March Madness press conference and saying, you know, President Trump? Because you could call him NCAA President Trump.
True.
So you'd have to use
That's
the words
true.
President Trump.
That's
Are
true.
You concerned with the opulent facilities at the University of Oregon? Absolutely not.
Absolutely
I love opulence.
Not.
I believe in luxury,
my
especially
only,
at
My only
college
problem
athletics.
With Oregon's facilities is that they lag far behind that of the latest Trump hotels.
Alabama's facilities, they're a joke. They're disgusting.
They're disgusting.
I wouldn't let my dog shit in them.
Nobody loves them. China, they're like something a Chinaman would come up with.
Have you seen Tennessee's new indoor facility? It ought to be an underground facility.
Trump golf courses, though. That's why we're hosting the Rose Bowl at Trump Golf Course.
Trump University. We're scheduled to play 8 major opponents, including North Korea, next season. It'll be bananas.
Bear
Bryant, I bet he says bananas a lot.
Bear Bryant's going to be my head coach. You say he's dead. I say that's a limitation for the unimaginative.
I say you're a loser who
say
isn't
you're
creative.
A loser who doesn't want to win. Who doesn't care about winning at any cost. Not at Trump University. What? Does Donald Trump have a private university?
There's no question he does.
Jesus Christ. Somebody play them.
Somebody. Baylor, you listening?
Oh my God. If Baylor beat Trump University?
Baylor's got to do that in them gold helmets. He'd really like those.
Shit. That's perfect. All right, let's do one more question and then get the hell out of here.
That works.
Our final question of this episode, and again, thank you for listening. You are an angel. You are sentimental. You are
kind.
Thank
you to Brian Floyd for listening.
Thank you to Brian for being one of our, you know, I'll say this.
Several
sometime
listeners.
Sometimes on our three-man show, we step on each other's toes. We step on each other's lines. We all have like, you know, average jokes that we really want to say. Because sometimes the average joke is really good. We haven't really done that much tonight.
Floyd is extremely easy to work with on audio where you can't see other people.
He is so low-key. Like, he understands conservation of words.
When Floyd speaks, people listen.
It matters. He only says things when they matter. That's right, Brian, right? See, again, he
damn.
Gets it. He just gets it.
He's true a pro. Professional.
Okay, last question. This question comes from Matt Scalici. I don't know which one it is. I'm sorry, Matt. At Matt Scalici on Twitter. Twitch. You know, why you gotta do that?
Scalici.
So I say. Which state, besides Alabama, is most likely to pass college football-related legislation, and what would it be?
This is, of course, in reference to the Alabama state senator who is trying to get Auburn to claim nine. National titles.
Yeah. Yeah.
They claim two. They could claim four, one in the 80s and one in the way back when. And they tried to claim one in 93, which is total bullshit because they were a ball band at the time, which is extremely Auburn. We're eager to find out where those other four are coming from.
It's pretty exciting. But if we're talking about Pac-12 states passing college football,
right, this is a Pac-12 show.
Legislation. I mean, California, obviously, left coast, always willing to interfere. We know that. We know that they hate freedom.
Well, the thing about California is they have so many programs.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, that's what... Stanford probably wouldn't count because it's a private school.
Right.
But, well, actually, USC's private.
So it's just Cal and UCLA.
Yeah. So, but still, though, that's still eight more national titles.
That's a lot.
And then that would really piss off USC because we didn't get the free national titles.
You think
and Stanford really wouldn't notice because they'd be busy winning like boxing or whatever.
Stanford would be like, oh, we invented a space shuttle that runs on dreams.
we just
did because we can. How are you guys? Great.
And okay. Also we won space fencing. So,
we swept NCAA space fencing eighth year in a row.
Congrats on the Director's Space Cup.
Fuck you, Vanderbilt. We'll beat you every year in space fencing.